How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
I just want to talk about how great of a time we had in South by Southwest.
Oh yeah.
Thank you guys. Thank you everybody who came out to that show. That was really dope.
Yeah.
And I just can't wait to do more of those shows, I think. I hope people like.
Yeah, man. Yeah. That show was fun, man. That crowd was intense. It was so dope.
Yeah, I was just really happy that there was somebody who had seen Hancock more than once.
That's funny.
Not only did he see it, he saw it twice.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to tell you what I liked about that show, honestly, is that out of like 450 people, there was only like 6 black people. And the thing that was funny is we knew exactly what most of them were. Like, it was a group of black women who were screaming all the answers. We know. And they were dope. And then there was one dude who came up to me at the bar like, hey, man, just so you know, you guys killed it. You killed it so much that they were offering me free drinks thinking I was one of y'all. And he was like, but I didn't take it. I didn't take the drink. Yeah. Like, bro, you better take that drink. It was free. You better take that drink. It ain't your fault. Take that drink.
Yeah.
No, he was like, we got to stick together. He was like, I can't mooch off of these other black dudes. Man. I got to make sure, you know.
I'd have took that drink. And he had his wife there. I'd be like, hey, baby, what you want?
Oh, snap,
No,
son.
But people, it was so much love in that
It was
place.
A lot of love.
It was dope.
Yeah, man. We got to dance, you know. Yeah. Did a little bit of soul playing.
Hey, no. Hey. What? That doesn't even make... No. What? I don't accept this one.
What? No, the soul playing move, you
we
know?
Did
like
a little soul
Yeah, you
plane?
Do a little soul, and then you do the playing.
No. I hate this. Nick, just
so please start the show.
You know what it Jonathan Raylock, James the Third, Drum Milligan.
What more can I say?
You know what it is.
Black men can jump.
Black actors.
All right. Welcome to Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood.
Hollywood City.
Yeah.
I mean, if you wouldn't have done something,
that was what it was.
Yeah. I was so excited when I saw him do it in the movie because I was like, great.
Yeah.
That's a direct quote from the film.
Yeah. Direct quote.
I feel like I've blocked out some of this movie.
Here we go.
Mind.
My name is Jonathan Braylock.
Dra Milligan.
And I'm James the Third.
Hey, man. What's that about?
Could
that's my
barely
voice.
Even hear what your name was.
Are
just
you sick?
Mumble it on the mic.
Are you eating peanut butter?
You open your mouth.
Stop looking at it. Look, what are you
All
doing?
Right. For those of you who are new, welcome. We review films of leading black actors in Hollywood, and we talk about them in the context of race, mainly Hollywood's diversity problem.
Yeah.
If you don't think Hollywood has a diversity problem,
you crazy.
I mean, you can listen to this, and maybe you'll see that there is one.
Yup.
Or you could, you know, keep a closed mind and call us racist on Twitter.
Hey, stop doing that because I don't like it.
It's fine. The other thing that I think is really fun, just really, just a quick aside.
Oh, you're going to start. No.
We're starting with an aside.
I just have to do this aside real quick. Like, I think it's so funny that, I'm just going to say Trump voters or Trump supporters like to call liberals, you know, I'm just putting that in quotes because it's just whatever, but they like to call liberals snowflakes because they're so sensitive. You know what I mean? They're like, oh, you're so sensitive. But like the moment that you're like, I don't know, I think, black people have it hard. They're like, oh, well, white people got it hard too. It's like, okay. I'm sensitive.
Yeah.
Or they can call you the N word and then call you racist at the same time.
Oh no.
Which is like, okay, this is what we're doing.
Guys, don't read the comments.
No. I only read it once, and I will never do it again.
I just thought it was funny.
Stick to the 5-star review.
Yeah. So we are reviewing the film Soul Plane.
Wait,
today.
I thought that was a bit.
No, it wasn't a bit. We did it.
Wait,
were we supposed to watch
supposed
Soul
watch
Plane?
We both watched it. I don't know who
Wait,
you're talking
were we supposed
about.
To watch
no,
it?
Here's the thing. Here's the thing, you guys. I just finished the last 10 minutes before we started. But I watched it in segments. And when I started watching the last 10 minutes, I was like, I have no idea what happened before this. I have no idea what happened before.
Here we go. So,
we'll see how this goes.
All right. Let me get the facts out the way first.
Great.
Okay. Soul Plane came out 2004. The movie stars Kevin Hart.
How?
Stars Monique.
Why Monique?
Snoop Dogg, Method Man.
Snoop Method. Why?
D.L. Hughley is in this film.
D.L. Why?
Jonathan Witherspoon.
John Witherspoon.
Now, I will say this, though. Well, we haven't gotten to the review yet. Keep going. Right. Keep going with the facts.
Tom Arnold, of course.
Yes. Good old Tom Arnold.
This film is a...
Missy Pyle. Gotta give a shout out.
And okay. Also, Terry Crews.
I mean,
we're gonna give everyone... Listen, yeah.
Terry Crews.
What's her name? Sofia Vergara.
Sofia Vergara.
Yeah.
Okay. So. box office. This movie just bombed at the box office.
Whew.
Did not make its money back. It made like $14 million off a $16 million
budget. After seeing it, I was actually kind of shocked that it bombed.
It bombed?
You were shocked it bombed?
I was kind of shocked that it bombed.
Interesting. Okay, so Kevin Hart apparently talked about on WTF in his podcast that, in Mark Maron's podcast, that he thinks this movie would have made more money if it wasn't bootleg, because apparently a bootleg of the movie was going around.
Oh, like, there you go.
Before it opened. Mm. So, you know, maybe. Maybe that
affected it. I mean, because this movie, and it's weird. Oh, my God. I'm about to defend this movie.
No, it's
weird, because like, this movie feels like the movies that we have now, like Meet the Blacks.
Yeah.
And, like,
well,
those
no.
Marlon Wayans movies.
It's not Soul Plane. Is not Meet the Blacks.
All right.
What does that mean?
I know I have a thing about Meet the Blacks, but yeah. Soul Plane is not Meet the Blacks.
Well, I'm just saying it's like one of those scary movie kind of vibes where it's like, it's just silliness for like silliness.
This movie was built kind of like the Black Airplane. I know Soul Plane in the movie is literally a black airline.
You mean the one with
but the rims? I'm talking about like Airplane the movie, like
Classic film,
the classic film Airplane with Leslie.
We're talking about the classic film,
the classic Airplane.
Yeah.
Yes, and like this film is like the black version of that movie, supposed to be kind of.
Honestly, I kind of agree. Like, honestly, this movie made more than I thought it did, but I think it probably would have made a little bit more if it was out now.
Yeah, I was like. Okay. I didn't go see it when
it
came out.
It was panned, right? Yeah. Like, pretty hardcore.
Magic Johnson was put in this theater.
Not just by critics. But like, a lot of
by the
black
people it was
activists
marketed to,
yeah. were like, do not see this film. They did not like it. To the point of like, yeah, like Spike Lee called it like coonery. You know, Al Sharpton spoke out against it. I think like a couple organizations. Yeah, like Magic Johnson.
Yeah, Magic Johnson was like, not in my house. And Magic Johnson played Tyler Perry. Boo, a Madea Halloween.
But so it's like, Boo. So
yes, Negro,
Boo more,
yes.
Wait, but is right. Boo more coonery? Okay, than, I'm just, than this, I'm getting, or just they're both coonery.
Well, they're both kind of. Like,
yeah. Well, let's get into it.
Okay.
But the other thing that I'll say is that this movie is so short. I think its actual running time is like 86 minutes.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, there's like 10 minutes of credits. This movie really stopped at an hour 20.
Yeah. Bro, I thought this movie was 2 hours.
No
this movie
way.
Was not even
no,
90 minutes.
No
it took
way.
Me. It took, I think I told John, which I rarely ever do. It took me 3 or 4 attempts just to start. I was like, oh, I'm gonna put this on. What are they doing? Oh God! And I cut it off.
Okay. So I'm going to just go ahead and put this statement out there. I apologize for anybody who loves Soul Plane, because unless one of y'all defend it, I cannot with this.
So
movie.
Here's the thing. I might do just a hair bit of defending.
I can defend certain parts.
Just like a hair bit, because some things did kind of make me like chuckle a little bit.
Okay.
But did you laugh?
I mean, there are times where I went. That's funny. Like that. There are times where I went where I really was like, oh yeah, like okay. But
yeah.
Did you laugh? Oh yeah, what's your initial thought?
Oh yeah. So okay, we'll just do initial thoughts.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember I never saw this film. Mm-hmm. But obviously purposely. Mm-hmm. I remember when it came out and feeling then that like I can't believe they made a movie called Soul Plane about a purple airplane with spinning rim.
and it has hydraulics.
I was just like, even then I was like, what? Because 2004, Chappelle's Show was out by this time, right?
It ended at this point. It had Chappelle's Show, it's crazy how old Chappelle's Show is.
Yeah.
His fourth, the part two of the third season ended in like 04, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. Like.
Oh, of the third season.
Mm-hmm. There was heightened black comedy that was made by black people that like black people loved that was like heightened and intelligent. Like,
yeah.
So this movie felt like such a regression just from what I saw from the trailer. So watching it, I was like, I expected it to be bad. And it was, I guess, just as bad as my expectations. I don't know if it was necessarily worse. Obviously, from a 2017 mindset, I thought about more things that I probably would have thought in 2004, which was all of the gay jokes.
Yeah.
And the Islamophobic jokes.
Yeah.
And also how I didn't understand how I was supposed to feel about Tom Arnold's character because they made him so sympathetic. And to a point where I was like, what? Like what? Like, yeah. Like his family is, I don't like anybody in his family. Like the freaking, his like new wife is just this like adulterous, like,
yeah,
you know, fetishizing black men for their, you know, big dicks.
Yeah.
You know, like, and his daughter is basically doing the same thing. And his son is just appropriating black culture. So I was like, all three of them are actually, like, I like Tom Arnold. They're the terrible ones.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? but I don't know, man. This movie made me so sad. My initial thought is, I am surprised anybody from this film made it out with a career. I was shocked
Kevin made it
because
out.
Kevin Hart, I watched him in this movie and I was like, and there is part of me that's like, you could definitely see skill and talent and how he was really trying hard to rise above the material that he was given. But at the same time, this movie is so beneath. You know what I mean? I can't ask you a question.
Because this is one thing I was thinking about when I was watching it. It's both Kevin Hart and Sofia Vergara. We know their careers, but nobody was checking for either one of them.
Right, not them.
And we all. I mean, guys, we auditioned for stuff that we honestly don't want.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's like, if this part came up where you could lead a movie, would you do it? That was the question I kept like popping in my head.
I think
I don't know.
I have already said this on the podcast about other stuff. Yeah, like I wouldn't say no to that part. I would do it. Maybe even now, after having done done a little bit of stuff where like I could probably have some input and try to help to make it be a little better than it actually is, you know. But I wouldn't say no to the part. I would take it,
even if it was the same script and like you could. I mean, because the thing is, I agree with John a little bit. I fully believe that Kevin was trying his best not to like whatever you call like that coonery kind of thing. But like, I feel like he tried his best not to be involved in that.
Yeah.
But the movie itself still represents such a, and it's tricky. This is my thing about this movie. And I guess this is my initial thoughts. It was tricky because I didn't know how to feel about it. Cause I didn't like it, but there were moments where I was like, oh, there's a good movie in here. Yeah. Like every time Kevin Hart had a genuine moment and wasn't like doing certain things, like, oh, this, you could have made a real movie about like a black dude. Like, and when he had to give his, we could do, but when he had to give his, that talk in the court, I was like, oh man, there are real moments. But also, it made me think about what do I value? Where it's like, I don't want to ever be in a place where I feel like I have to be ashamed of, I don't know, black people playing basketball or like, yeah. Or listening to hip hop or doing certain things because that is a part of us. It's not like what everyone represents. Right. And this movie only played to that part, but for some reason I felt so embarrassed that Yeah. Of course, they're having like fried chicken on the plane. Of course, the wing of the airport is was it Malcolm X? Yo. Malcolm X. Yo.
Wait, which is see, but to me, that's that part I thought was like there were there were jokes in the. I'll say this: there were jokes in the movie that I did like think were kind of funny, but there were other the other part of it. I think the thing that upsets me the most about this film is this idea, and this is what I was upset about when I was in high school. So this might be my own personal thing, especially like growing up as a mixed kid in a white suburban town, was like, I really resented this idea that blackness can only be defined as how into hip hop are you, how into having sex with like as many different women as you can are you, how into like getting down and like, do you like bling? You know what I mean? Like, do you smoke weed? Like, it was like blackness became only what the hip hop culture defined as blackness in, and even in the hip hop culture, it wasn't even all of hip hop. It was like the gangster rap version of hip hop.
Yeah.
Like, so I resent that. Like, that was the because,
but
it was in all three. Like, there were three different classes. You know, it was like first class, business class, and low class, you know, in this airplane, but all three were like super black in the hip hop version of blackness.
See, I think that we come from a world where, like, for instance, and this is just my take as a person who grew up the opposite,
right?
Is like you were always made to feel like that stuff was bad, and so when hip hop became popular, it was your way of being like, ah, I can embrace this thing. Because I mean, even think about watching this movie right now, the things that. I mean, aside from like, I mean, we will get to the homophobic and Islamic things, but like, aside from like, you take that stuff out, some of the most embarrassing things people had a problem with is the things that black people love, like, or some black people love. It's like ice and like music and stuff like that. So it's that weird thing of like, black people always, like, we always have been put against each other, where it's like, yeah, suburban wise, it's like, oh, this isn't black. But then if you're from the hood, you only have this because no one else is checking for you. Like, you literally only have yourself to big up because that is it. And now we live in a place where that culture is taken. So I see both parts.
Right.
But it's like, that's why I felt watching this movie that I was trying my best not to judge them on the fact that, like, yeah, like you said, John, in first class, those were Cadillac seats. You know, like, like, I mean, they were Cadillac seats in that thing. And it's like, but that was a big deal. It's like, if you could afford a Cadillac, you had success. And that's not a thing to be ashamed of, because that is it's problematic. I just don't know how to deal with this movie at all.
Yeah, so I think that the biggest issue that I had with it, like what Bray was saying before, was like the homophobic jokes and like the Islamophobic jokes. But then beyond that, the movie feels very like slapstick, very like
80s.
Very like, yeah.
It is, 80s. Kind of.
I mean, like jokes like, the plane is going by and the hydraulics are going, and then the plane next door, they locked
it. It's a Texas plane. Everybody on that plane has a freaking cowboy hat. They all look like they're about to do a rodeo, and that, they lock their...
That to me is like so silly.
Yeah,
that's so silly.
I think their plane had horns.
And that doesn't... Right. And like that to me is not... That doesn't feel like... That's like... that doesn't feel like Cooney to me. That feels like a joke.
Well, this
do you know what I mean? Like, that feels like...
It's definitely a joke, but it's like... But to me, it does feel like a joke that people made in 1970, and it's like, it's 2004 and you're still making this joke.
But they on a plane though.
Well, I think these jokes, and this is not
it's the same joke. What are you I don't even understand. Like, they literally made those jokes in the movie Airplane.
Well, I think they make those, like, the thing is, it's so interesting, like, this movie so hated, and again, like, I'm not trying to diss these other movies, but like, it still feels like Marlon Wayans is like 50 Shades of Black. Like, it's still those kind of like like, even Meet the Blacks is still that kind of, like, slapsticky kind of, like...
Yeah, but, I don't know. There's things about this that I think I watched this because I had to for this podcast, but I turned off Meet the Blacks because I was, like, angry while I was watching it, and I was not angry while watching this, and I don't know what that reason was. Like, you know, I liked the Malcolm X wing, and I liked that there was, like... I didn't quite understand everything. Like, I kept asking myself, like, why is this the airline that he chose to make? Do you know what I mean? Like there was never any like, yo, and when I have my airline, it's going to be like, there was never any.
I was just like, my man got one. He has an airline with one plane.
That's all I can think of. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, but do you know what I mean? Like, I totally do. Like, I think that, like, if they would have figured out a way to make sense of it, like, I like that, like, he gets stuck in the toilet. Like, that's funny to me. Anyway.
Yeah. We'll just take a quick break. This ad is brought to you by Uncommon Goods. Spark something uncommon this holiday with just the right gift from Uncommon Goods. Guys, if you're like me, holiday shopping is very, very stressful. What do I get? Oh my goodness, I have to get a gift for this person and that person, and you don't know what to get. Who wants to go to a mall? I mean, are malls even around anymore? Guess what? We got a secret source for incredible original gifts, and that's Uncommon Goods. They have the exact perfect gift for every single person you know. And what's great is that you can just go to uncommongoods.com, browse their website, and I'm telling you right now, you will find something. I mean, I just went and looked right now, and I was like, oh my goodness, I just found like at least four different things that I could get my parents, my wife. I mean, they have these weighted relaxation robes. They have incredible like candle holders. They have advent calendars. That's fun. Holiday ornaments, if you want to get those. Guys, they got something for everybody. When you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're also supporting artists and small independent businesses. They have products that are high quality, unique, and often handmade in the U.S. From holiday hosts and hostess gifts, the coolest find for kids, it's got something for everyone. And you don't have to worry about your gift getting lost in the mail. Uncommon experiences are more than virtual classes. They're unexpected opportunities to have fun and connect in new ways, from tarot card reading to cooking and mixology classes, gardening, so much more. And with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. They've donated more than $3 million to date. So to get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/Hollywood. That's uncommongoods.com/Hollywood for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods. We're all out of the ordinary. Get it? Because it's uncommon. It's pretty good.
It's finally here. Stop into Menards for amazing Black Friday deals. A 54-inch giant snow tube is only $9.99 each. Ladies' slippers are just $6.99 a pair. And a men's heated jacket is $49.99. Ah, there's so many great Black Friday deals. I can't list them all. You'll have to hurry to Menards while supplies last to get these and many more Black Friday deals. Sale good Black Friday through December 1st. See Menards.com for details.
Save big money at Menards.
All right, we are back. Let us get into this very short film.
Yo, this movie felt 3 hours.
All right, so here we go. The beginning of this film, for anybody who hasn't seen it and that of course isn't going to watch it because you would have to pay $3 to watch it. It starts off with Kevin Hart like narrating about the fact that when he was a little kid.
Like the narration this part.
He was like, when I was a kid, I dreamed about my own airlines. And he's basically, he's living in a house where it's like, I guess like 100 yards from the airport, because a plane comes like literally right overhead, while his mom is drying clothes in the back and he's in a baby carriage and he's just looking up at a plane just like so
Does he say dreaming of an airline?
No, you're right. Like, no, he doesn't said even dreaming say of that. Like flying, didn't he?
Yeah.
I think he said dreaming
loved,
of flying.
I've always loved airplanes, something like that.
Always loved airplanes, and I feel like he said something about his mom telling him that he would be flying one of those planes someday.
Right.
It reminded me of this. This intro reminded me of The Jerk, the old Steve Martin movie. I don't know why, but it's that silly, like, I mean, John, you're right. This movie has definitely an old school feel. It's like, is it just sight gag after sight gag?
Yeah. But this beginning part didn't do anything for me.
No.
I think the beginning of The Jerk is hilarious because he says that he grew up as a small black kid.
Yeah.
And at the beginning of this movie, I guess the joke is like, ha, wouldn't it be funny if you live next to an airport and like planes flew over your head? Like, that's how poor this dude is. And you're like, I guess. What's the joke?
They were trying to give him a little background, I guess. I mean,
they're trying to like connect him to the soul plane for I don't know.
But to me, okay, so here's my thing about all, and I'll just say this, like, this will be my theme for this movie, is that I'm cool with you making jokes that are commenting or something, or just like you found a way to have a pun, like that, the term, you know, you're in Gate X, like Malcolm X Gate, like that's funny because it's a pun. You know, I get it. I was like, oh, right, because gates have like numbers or letters, and now you just made X and Malcolm X is a black man.
I hate puns.
Whatever. But for this, it was like, to me, the joke was just, it's funny that people have to live here. But I'm like, people do have to live there. Well, yeah. So what's the joke? It's just funny that this dude is poor?
I think so, because I think what they were trying to do, and this is, oh my God, I'm defending this movie. I think what they're trying,
why? This part was terrible.
I think this movie was actually trying to do a good thing. It just didn't do it right.
It was trying to make you care about it.
It was trying to, it tried to make you connect. And I think the first half of this, not the first half, but up until the airline part, they were trying their best to make you care about Kevin Hart's character. Like, they were trying, but still throw jokes.
Yeah, right.
So it felt cheesy to me, and I think that's why it didn't work for me. I knew what they were trying. I guess I knew what they were trying to do, but it also felt like they were trying to make a joke, but I was like, whatever. Anyway, the next part is him saying, like, well, that didn't really work out, and he's running to an airport, and he has to get on a plane. And they tell him he can't check his dog because some dude Coke bottle glasses. I mean, come on. What an old school joke is that? This dude can't see. He sees a Doberman even though he's got a Chihuahua in his hand.
I mean,
because he can't see. It's funny that people can't see.
I mean,
that's the joke.
Yo, I mean, you're right. Look, man.
And then he chucks him out the window. There you go. Like, your little psych act. That's whatever. That's the movie that we're in, a slapstick comedy.
You hit a dog. Oh,
yeah. He just chucks it. When he's in his seat, if they were trying to set up a sympathetic or like a character that you could relate to, they completely undercut it in the next scene by making Kevin Hart a freaking dick.
Yeah.
He's on the plane just being the most obnoxious person you could ever be. He's listening to rap music going, brat, 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 like spitting.
Like, you're laughing. You're laughing.
I'm laughing
because you're laughing. Are you laughing?
Actually, to be honest, I did laugh at that because it's Kevin Hart, and he was just being just a completely ridiculous person. Yeah. And him going, brap, brap, like the motions that Kevin Hart makes him a great stand-up. He's so little, and the motions that he makes, like the amount of bob that he gets in his head when he does a bat is just amazing.
I mean, it's interesting because, they didn't have to make him a jerk. They didn't.
His bob to brat ratio is off the charts.
They could have had it. I mean, and this is what I thought they were going to have him do in this scene. I thought they were going to have him be like, planes. Like, oh, wow. Like, I'm on a plane.
Yeah,
like,
that would have been
literally anything to connect it to that previous scene that we just saw. Other than just, he's now on a plane.
He's just on a plane. He had a bad time because he couldn't bring his dog in with him, but he's the problem.
Yeah,
he is now the problem. And then, they take off. You know, he runs to go number two.
He eats some beef stromboli. It's bubbling.
It bubbles.
Yeah, he wanted the chicken, right?
Yeah, that was a funny joke where she was like, "Do you want the chicken or the beef stromboli?" And he was like, "I'll take the chicken. It smells good. We only have beef stromboli." Why did you ask me?
That's a real question. Why did you ask me?
And she just looks at him.
I hope people do that though. It's like, hey, do you want this or this? It's like, why are you asking me this question if you know the answer you want? Like,
yeah, I can't answer. It wasn't even a choice that I could have.
Yeah, like,
you just did that to embarrass me.
Like, just give me this stromboli.
Yeah, that was funny. Yeah, but then of course he eats it and gets diarrhea
immediately,
when he finishes it. Has to go to the bathroom.
Has that ever happened to y'all? Had to go to the bathroom on the plane? Like, you had to, like...
Oh, diarrhea? No.
I mean,
I've never had diarrhea on the plane.
Knocking on wood.
Yeah, I'm going to do that, too.
Yeah.
Never sick? Like, never sick on a plane?
Never sick on a plane.
Yeah, not on a plane, thank God. But
You guys know my story. I've been high as hell on a plane.
Yes, we all know this.
I've been so high on a plane that I thought I had... What is it called when, like, people sometimes wake up and, like, their mind is conscious, but they can't move their body? What was that called?
Oh, what?
It was like there was a point.
Sleep paralysis.
Yeah, I literally woke up and I was like, oh, I could have been dreaming. I don't know. Right. I know it's like I was just not moving my body right. and I was losing it, guys.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
So,
okay. But that's a little different than this diarrhea.
Yeah, yeah. It wasn't diarrhea on the train, on the plane.
Where he's doing diarrhea.
And he like runs across the plane.
Yeah, knocks over a bunch of people. Whatever.
He can't go to the front of the plane. If you're in the back of the plane, you cannot use the front of the plane bathroom. Yeah. Rules. Yeah.
So he basically a series of events happened where he has diarrhea, but like somebody like he presses a button.
He presses the flush button, but it sucks him in a little bit, and a woman tries to help him, but presses like the yeah. air
because it's turbulence because he's experiencing turbulence, so he gets stuck
he
in
gets
the
stuck
and then she presses something that like disables open.
makes it by accident though.
Yeah, like it disrupts the equilibrium of the plane.
It also, so then I think it opens up the cargo bay, so yeah. everything
oh,
flies
right,
out.
Okay, yeah,
because then he sees his dog fly out into the engine
into
and die.
The engine.
And the dog isn't in the cage anymore. Oh, was the dog ever in the cage?
The dog was in the cage, but we needed to see the dog clearly, and we wouldn't have known what it was if it wasn't like
yeah.
that.
Wow. So, anyway,
but
so,
the plane, of course, lands perfectly fine.
Lands perfectly,
after
he has like ice on his butt.
Tons of debris falls into the
into the engine.
So essentially, he then sues this airline because they killed his dog,
and messed with his butt,
and during the court case, the most racist defense lawyer. I don't know why this. Also, I was like, what is this courtroom set up?
Yo.
It was a weird. It felt like church. Did anybody else feel like?
Yo, did it?
Well, like just only because like it was just like a weird. Like the pews were like it felt like pews. Like everything was like a really spacious. This lawyer was like, so basically you're a deadbeat who ain't got no job.
That was how the scene started.
He definitely,
I was like, what?
No. He was like,
there was no buildup.
He was like, how many of your like,
oh,
so
right.
your job?
You're an entrepreneur.
Job first.
Like how many jobs? Like how many things have been successful? Well, none. And then he literally said it just how Braid did it. Like just no job. And then he did like a turnaround too.
Yeah. And it's like, okay, that was your defense argument. And then Kevin Hart just goes, Judge, can I say something? Okay, make it brief. Oh, like what?
What? That was bizarre. And then the thing that he chooses to say, he chooses to defend his choices in life as an entrepreneur. And not say anything about the fact that he got sucked into the toilet.
It doesn't matter if I have a job. They killed my dog.
Exactly.
They sucked me into a toilet.
He said none of those words.
See, no, man, this is deeper than what y'all think right now, okay? All right, right now you're thinking like, oh, man, he could just say the surface thing that is the real honest thing about the dog and his butthole. All right?
Yes.
We all know what happened to his butthole.
the thing he's on trial for.
But the thing is, what happened was that lawyer put it on him. So he had to defend himself, and he was trying to be like, listen, I know.
Okay, well, I'm saying this movie is 86 minutes long, and they could have spent one more minute just fleshing that out just a little bit more.
Yo, man, I think, think about it. Like, this is the thing that bothers me about this movie. Is this moment to me, I thought, like, if they would have stopped trying to be so silly and just gave Kevin, like, real moments like this.
I think they thought they succeeded at that because he has this. Like, it's supposed to be an emotional or earnest speech, sincere, you know, telling of this jury. Yeah. Listen, I try my hardest. Like, I work really hard and I just want to do something great with my life.
If I were the jury and I heard him say that after being accused of trying to get money, I would go, well, he's definitely trying to get money.
Oh, well, yeah. What he just said was that he wants to get money to do something.
He wants to get money.
It doesn't matter because it messed up his butt and it killed his dog.
All right. So he's awarded $100 million.
Yo.
That's not a joke. That's the main conceit of this film.
Yo, listen. He got it. Wait. So he only got one.
This is
he's awarded
ridiculous.
$100 million.
How much is a plane?
Because they killed his dog. Huh? How much is a dog, son?
No, listen. Animals are very important because
Yeah, no, I hear you.
Think about Michael Vick, man. Michael Vick career was ended.
Yeah, I'm not. And listen,
it's not just to replace the dog. It's to replace the memories. It's to replace
emotional,
the trauma of that moment.
And,
years and years and years after. And the hospital bills.
Great. And so, like, right after that, met the man, his cousin, and he's just like, we rich!
Yo, that part hurt my heart.
We gonna spend $20 million.
I loved this part. I love this part because it's that joke that every stand-up says, but he's just like, what you mean we?
Yeah, what you mean we?
We're gonna
go to Bangkok, spend $20 million. Like, what? Like just like that, you're gonna drop one fifth of the mil? Anyway, so basically they ask him, what are you gonna do with the money? And he didn't know before when Method Man asked him, but now he just goes, I'm gonna have my own airline. No reason. There's no reason.
See, but even before that, listen.
I'll say this too.
What?
It seems like he's like, I'm gonna prove these guys wrong.
Yeah, I understand that.
But why
the airline?
But there was a part before this is that when like Method Man, when they're leaving, and Method Man's talking about like spending $20 million on like all these different locations. He goes, hey man, you're my cousin. You held me down. I love you. I'm not gonna like let you convince me to spend all this money.
Right.
Which I thought, like, okay, so they clearly like dropping seeds that Kevin is like smart.
He's an entrepreneur, an actual entrepreneur. He wants, even though his business has failed, that doesn't mean anything. Like, a lot of businesses fail.
Yeah,
he's just trying.
He just wasn't given $1 million by his dad to do whatever he wanted.
Right. But why the, so why now he the has airplane, a, though?
I don't
why
know why.
Because he said he loved planes at the beginning of the movie. He legit said, I mean,
yeah,
he
was
a little kid.
When he was a baby, he saw a plane.
How great would it have been if he was on the stand and they were like, he was like, can I say something for a second? He was like, I would never misuse the airport system like this. I have always loved and honored planes.
No, man.
My butt hurts and my dog is
no,
dead.
No, man. Look, that's like a thing of like, you always want to make movies. You own a movie, you get injured. And it's like, you know what? Screw this. I always got to make crappy movies. I'm gonna make my own film.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. It's like he said it when he was a kid.
He said he wanted a fly plane.
Yeah. Stop making me defend this movie.
No, it's okay. So then the next scene,
boom, it's happening.
We have it.
It's so plain.
We see Tom Arnold and Missy Pyle.
Okay, now we follow Tom.
This is my problem.
Arnold. Yeah,
and I get that it's in alphabetical order.
Oh, that's right.
But
we didn't talk about
Arnold
that.
That was
is top billed on everything. IMDb is top billed
because IMDb is probably alphabetical order.
But also, Wikipedia, he's top billed. When you look up like
probably
just a photo list, why is Tom Arnold top billed?
I never saw this movie before. I thought Tom Arnold was the protagonist of this film when I saw it, because I remember seeing the trailers. I thought, and maybe I'm just misremembering, but I thought the trailer was like this white family goes on a black airline.
They could have, and they could have very easily did just reversed Kevin Hart and Tom Arnold, and I think I would have been like, yeah, okay, that makes sense.
I don't understand why Kevin Hart wasn't just top bill,
right? Because like,
why was Tom Arnold?
Because in alphabetical order, they just did four people, right?
Yeah, it was
and
like
then
four
they did everybody
people.
Else, and of those four, it was like Snoop Dogg and Method Man, right?
Yep.
So like, I think it could have totally been Kevin Hart, then Tom Arnold, because Method Man and Tom Arnold are kind of about the same, right? And then Method Man and Snoop Dogg.
Yeah,
I mean, right? Like, why did they do that?
I'm very bothered by the fact that Tom Arnold is top billed in this movie.
He probably says something. You think he says something?
My thing is, like, he should have said, I shouldn't be top billed. That's what he should have said. Should have said, clearly, I shouldn't be the top billed person in Soul Plane, a purple plane with spinners on it.
It's cool. So,
goodness.
So Tom Arnold and his family, their flight was canceled or something. Oh, don't worry, we have another flight, NWA.
First of all,
it is called NWA.
Airlines don't do that though. Airlines aren't like
you don't move. An airline doesn't recommend another airline. That's not how airlines work, but that's fine. Whatever.
Like, yeah, okay.
American Airlines wouldn't be like, sorry, all our flights are booked, but I can book you a flight on Delta if you want.
No.
I don't know. It'd be funny if those two airlines were merged, because I don't know. I can't keep up with the...
No, Delta's still, like, American and United merged.
Okay, cool.
Yes.
And then we kind of learn, like, the character games. We learn that his wife doesn't really care about him.
It's a girlfriend.
Oh, sorry. His girlfriend doesn't really care about him, and she's like really annoyed with him. We learn that his daughter is a quote unquote hoe, that's what the brother says, but she kind of is, because she's walking around like talking about like, I want to do this and that, and looking at every single guy that literally any guy that's her age, and like winking at them
when
and stuff.
She went on that list of things that she wanted to do. I was like, yo, first off, two dudes had to have written this, because I'm like, there's no way a woman's going to write.
Oh, yeah, two dudes that she, did write.
I mean, oh, did they? Because I'm like, even the most sexually open person is not going to be like, I want
to
be.
Can't wait to teabag.
Not only that, but London Bridged?
I can't wait to be London Bridged.
I was like, come on, man. This is just sad.
Yeah, out loud to her father.
Right.
In public.
And I was like, how are we supposed to be? Like, because he kept saying, she's like, I'm 18. And he's like, you're 17. And I'm like, okay, time out. Which one is it?
Right.
Also, this is weird.
Yeah. She said in a few hours, so I thought her birthday was coming up. I thought by the end of the flight she was going to be 18. Yeah,
I mean, it was a very like American Pie, like she was like a character in the American Pie universe, but in this film. And then you had the little brother who was just like wanting to be black.
Well, but as far as we know right now, he just hates his sister.
Yeah, because at this point, he's dressed like his dad, and he's like, you know, really gung-ho with his dad. But we don't know he wants to be black yet.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, we don't learn that until they go to Malcolm X Terminal.
Hey, first off.
And it's like, basketball happening.
Which is, honestly, that's kind of dope.
Oh, okay, this is my thing. They made, like, if you look at the sites, it had a 99-cent store.
Yes. Oh, that was great.
But why is that a black thing?
Well, I don't know either, man.
That's not a black thing. Everybody has a 99-cent store.
But they were like, everybody has a 99-cent store, but specifically the stores in the black wing were 99-cent, which I think, I don't know, in my area.
It's funny because he liked that. He was like, oh, look, a 99-cent store.
Yeah, but white people be budgeting. But like, you know, you go to the 99-cent store first. You don't go nowhere. You go to the 99-cent store first. That was the rule. If you go on, shopping, you gotta make sure you go to the 99-cent store first. So that's where I mean,
especially if you're getting like school supplies. You know what I mean? Like any household thing, like anything cheap, anything you don't, you know, anything you can get at a Rite Aid or a Duane Reade or whatever you guys have, Walgreens. I don't know. You guys live everywhere.
You get a cheap snack, man. I used to go, like, when my parents lived, they had the Dollar General.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Y'all know why the 99-cent store was in this movie.
But my thing is, like, why did they... That's not like a black... That's not a black thing.
But whatever, whatever.
They
did have a basketball...
They had Cadillacs you can raffle off for, like, the Cadillacs that you can, like, in the mall.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they have a Foot Locker in it.
But it's not just black, but it's like black. I got it.
Yeah, okay. Okay, you got it. All right. So,
you got it.
And then also, they had, I guess, their own security check.
I love this sequence.
Okay, so you
like
Monique.
This sequence was funny to me.
You liked Academy Award winner.
They were just like, first of all, Academy Award winner Monique, this is amazing. And they're just like talking, which is great. And like, they completely miss a dude because they're like busy talking.
Yo, but they're so funny is they keep harassing that one dude with the gold chains. And the thing is, it's such a quick shot. They do a very quick montage of that guy taking off the necklace, watches. He had two-ways,
a
watch,
I liked this part. I thought this part was funny.
But the thing that they're saying, though, is so funny because I'm looking at this movie about TSA agents. And then like just seeing Get Out about that TSA agent. And they're like, yo, let Denzel walk up in here. Let Denzel walk up in here.
That'd be a conversation I would have if I had a job like that. That would totally be a thing that would come up.
Hey, man, this is my thing. I've been patted down with the glove twice in my life. So that's a very traumatic, like what they were talking about was very traumatic.
I literally liked it up until they assault that guy.
Because he was assaulted.
I liked that sequence until
you
the guy
knew that was going to happen.
I knew it was going to happen.
She was talking about sexual assault.
But like,
Yeah, and then she sexually assaulted a dude.
I mean,
it's funny when a woman does it, though.
Yeah, that's when it's funny.
Oh, man. When they put that glove on, I was like, oh, man, that glove gets no love, man.
I liked that they, like, stopped Kevin Hart, but then they just let him go through.
No, like, they saw his face.
Right.
Because he had to.
Right, but also, like, come on, bro, take off. Do the procedure. Like,
no, man. I own this airline, bro. I own this wing, bro.
Do the procedure.
First off, what's so sketchy about this whole movie is that my man got one plane. But with that one plane, he got a whole wing of an airport, which makes no sense. Like, makes
also,
no sense.
Wait, where were they? Because they flew to New York.
They were L.A.?
It was like a four-hour flight. It must have been like Atlanta or something.
Right, let me Google. Google.
Yeah.
Siri.
But the thing is, he had a whole wing with the idea he was going to expand, though, right?
But you don't get, like, you.
Yeah, but he had one.
You don't get a wing.
But he had that money.
Whatever, though. Whatever. That honestly, that's the least concerning part of this movie. Was the semantics.
Wait,
of
so like they get
how
there,
this airline works.
Has the boy
now
has
this
the boy
is when the
become
boy,
black?
This is well, so basically the young girl is like she gives her whole like spiel. His girlfriend, Tom Arnold's girlfriend, what's her name?
Missy Pyle, but
Missy
I don't remember Pyle. Her name
Missy,
in the movie.
Yeah. Missy's looking around like, oh my god, all these hot black men, you know. I was just like, oh, cool. You guys just this fetishizing.
See, when she first did it, I thought she was doing
she was scared
it, like,
at first.
Yeah, I
right?
thought she was kind of scared. Like, what are these black people? Like, what?
Oh, you're right. First, she was scared,
and then he's like, he's trying to make her feel better. No, it's probably like a family reunion or something.
Right, right. And then I think the little boy says something then that like noted that he was kind of understood black culture more than they did.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Yeah.
But also it's so sketchy because, like, first off, she goes from being scared to, like, fantasizing about black people. And it's like, this whole thing is a problem.
Saying.
It's
yeah. just, yeah.
like...
It was all a problem.
It's just a straight-up problem. And then the daughter instantly gets on the plane next to a dude with cornrows and just, like, starts loving it.
Yeah.
The son comes in dressed in hip-hop clothes. Man, this thing might melt. I put everything on this car. It's hot. Like, what are we doing?
Oh, right. That's what it was. Yeah. He like went around shopping and then bought all the stuff.
Yeah. He
there.
Bought all the clothes because he went shopping in the wing, in the Malcolm X wing.
And
it was bound to happen.
What how about the... how about Kevin Hart's suits?
Oh, how big they were?
Yeah.
Wait, what is this?
Yo, he had such big, like, that's why I felt like church, yo, especially when he was. He had such a big suit. I was like, yo, this is a gospel church
They ain't know how to tailor for him yet.
No, not yet.
Kevin Hart also probably wasn't making demands like, hey, yo, this suit better fit. Like, yeah.
I guess that's 2004 style baggy was still in. But
can we talk about Sofia Vergara, like the flight attendants? Like Sofia Vergara, smart brother. And I remember her from like music videos. I remember what her actual name is.
Smart brother.
The black girl. Like, because my thing is, smart brother... who has done many things. He's very funny.
I got it.
Smart brother
find this
was
guy's real
such...
Gary Anthony Williams, I think is what his name
okay.
is.
So his name Garrett is Smart Brother.
Okay, all right.
You're referring...
his underbrother character.
Yeah, yeah.
Technically...
Gary Anthony Williams is his real name.
Gary Anthony
technically,
Williams.
The comic.
Oh, like my God.
Animated comic.
He's
he was the voice
in Rocksteady.
Do you know what his character's name was in this movie?
Smart Brother?
No.
Flame.
Oh... So they had somebody named Flame, and they had somebody named Gay Man in this movie. They had
well,
Flame
they only had the man Gay Man for a couple more man. Jokes, for a couple of gay jokes.
My thing about Smart Brother, right?
John Witherspoon's right. character's name is Blind Man.
I mean, yeah.
Who was Sofia Vergara's character?
Hold on, let me see.
Oh gosh,
I can't find her right now.
My man had on. This is my thing. I don't even mind him being. Flamboyant because you know, flamboyant people is this, but it's like the jokes that were made about him throughout this whole movie, and like honestly, how the other guys treated him, like would look at him and be like, nah, like even when Snoop Dogg came on, and he looks at him and he goes, Eddie's ladies, and then I forgot what Smart Brother says. He just looks at him and says something as he walks away. I'm like, bruh.
Well, because he was like, because they're he like basically made a pass at him somewhat, and he was like. Man,
yeah, he did. So, I mean, like,
and then like later on was like, man, some fruity nigga try to,
yeah, like, come on, man. And the thing is, like, this is the problem that, like,
but they like nobody's ever checks him on it. Nobody's like, yo, chill, dude. They're just like, yeah, but that's, I mean, early 2000s, man. Gay jokes ruled the day.
I mean, yeah, man, that's the problem.
Sophia's character's name was Blanca.
Oh, she had a name.
Blanca.
Yeah, she had a name.
And it's so funny because her accent. Actually, you know what though?
What's that?
Her accent might be the same in this movie as it is on Modern Family.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
You guys just said that like it was a huge.
Yeah,
because in my head I was like, no, in my head
you to be like,
because in my head I'm like, oh man, look at what she had to do back in the day,
right,
to make it. But when I think about like even her on Modern Family, like she is the sex stuff.
But isn't that her?
Like, but yeah, I mean, she's on a TV show, so she has a much more fleshed out character that has like.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, of course. But I'm talking about like literally the face value is like, oh, this character's like objectified,
right?
Like, Okay.
Yeah. Well, she's a mom in Modern Family.
But though. she's the trophy wife in Modern Family, though.
I think the idea was like from the outset she looks like a trophy wife, but then like as you keep watching that, you know, what's her name? Who's like the main daughter? You know, she like basically gets checked that he's like, that's not my trophy wife. I actually love her.
But also Modern Family has a lot of problems. We don't got to go into it.
Sorry.
Anyway, so
asking questions do too much.
So, okay. I will say I do like this. So we're finally, you see the plane. I mean, it's this terrible CGI purple plane with,
or is it amazing CGI?
Yeah, sure.
I hate this plane.
spinning rims.
Yo, the air traffic controller is just like straight dancing. Like this. Oh.
I will say this.
I was so excited.
I will say this. The jokes were corny. The jokes were corny about what this plane looked like, but it was a little funny when they showed lower class and in the back of lower class, they had the bus handles. So
yeah,
people
like
just standing up.
I actually hated that so
much.
That was funny.
That part actually made me so mad. I was like, yo, so basically what's happening is once you get on this black owned plane, you already know people can't.
But they got something for everybody though. They had three different classes, was it?
Yeah, yeah, three different classes. Just like first class, plane, business class,
but then
low
also
class. Low class.
Yeah, low class.
It didn't even say, it wasn't even like,
it wasn't,
you know,
coach.
It wasn't coach.
It was low class.
Yo, they did, yo, because, but the thing is, they only said low class when they were talking to the white people. They were like, you're in low class. And I thought that, I think the joke was supposed to be like, haha, black, like white people are in lower class on this flight. But the flight is full of black people, so when they go back, there's a bunch of black people back there.
They had in low class a box black and white TV with antennas.
You had to put money in to open up the overhead compartment. Yeah. You had to put money
a quarter in those lockers.
Department.
You know,
but
I
don't know. Like, I don't hate this as a joke.
He thought it was funny. Tom Arnold was like amused by it.
Yeah,
you gotta put a quarter in to get the key.
Because there are all kinds of jokes about flying coach. There are all kinds of jokes about flying coach. Never you have to put a quarter into the thing.
Because it was like this is the black
that's
coach.
That's funny.
I also did like this is the scene where like you see from the passenger's point of view, you see this dude walk in, and you see everyone like, I thought it was gonna be Debo.
I looked to Kat and I said, he's gonna be Middle Eastern and I'm gonna hate it.
See,
and
I thought he was gonna be Debo. I thought he was gonna be like, oh, we got Debo in this movie. But then once he sat down and he became Middle Eastern, and I'm like, man, we're supposed to stick together.
Again, because they never redeemed that. They never give him. They never defend him at all. In fact, it was like
it's kind of like, worse what happens at the end.
It was like he's walking back. You don't know who it is, and everybody's like disgusted. And then it sits down, and for some reason, Monique and the other woman who were TSA agents checking security are now on this flight as well, which doesn't make any sense. But they're like, "We're watching you, Osama," and that's it. It was like, that's the joke? Like,
he dances at the end of the movie.
Were people supposed to laugh when that happened?
Yeah, people were supposed to laugh. That was supposed to be
that
really
part made
funny.
Me so mad.
That was supposed to, like, make everybody just go, yeah! Whenever we see a Middle Eastern person on the plane, we all scared.
Yeah.
We were supposed to love that. Yeah. I was so mad.
Yeah.
I was so mad. Okay. Yeah.
Cool. And so now we get into like, oh, right. And Snoop Dogg is the pilot. His name is Captain Mac.
Doesn't show up, but he shows up in.
Shows up late.
He shows up. He shows up late, right? Shows up late. Sees his boss, who is Kevin Hart, right? Sees his boss and goes, don't worry, man. I get us to like, take us up like another thousand.
Hit a slipstream.
Yeah. And he's like, can you really do that? Nah, I'm messing with you. I can't do none of that, man. And it's like, this dude has never flown a plane. My man jokes, like when Kevin Hart turns his back, about how much weed he's bought on the flight. And then makes fun of his co-pilot because his last name is Gaiman.
Right.
Played by Godfrey.
Oh, and also makes fun of his co-pilot, just keeps calling him African because he's and he's from Africa, I guess, African-American immigrant who he just keeps making, he's like, ah, oh, none of that African stuff. Like, they're playing music at some point. He's playing like, "This is my music." And he's like, "Man, turn that African stuff off, man. Nobody wants to hear that." And he's like, "Don't make fun of that music, man. Shut up, man. We're playing some gangster music up in here." I'm like, "Cool, yeah, because great. So African black is not black now. That's what, okay, great." This is the part that I hate. This is the stuff that I'm just like,
that's
we're taking the ignorant stuff. Like, look, I don't blame people for having that kind of mentality because of how, like, they grew up and the environment that they were raised in. But to take that mentality and elevate it like this is a good thing that we should praise, that's what makes me mad. I'm just like, are you kidding me?
I mean, it exists.
I know it exists, but then check him in the movie. Have somebody go, "Yo, dude, like, maybe." Anyway, whatever. Because that's why I didn't like it. Anyway, that's why I didn't like that in Barbershop either. They did the same thing.
They did the exact same thing.
They had the same exact character
the
they
exact
made fun
thing
of.
In Barbershop.
And it was just cool to make fun of the African. Like,
I mean, I've seen mad movies where they make fun of the hood dude. Like, it's tricky. Like, the thing is, we're only talking about it because, like, the movies that we see where black people are going to make a movie is like, and I'm not saying it's good to do,
right?
But I'm saying there's so many movies that make fun of black people, and it's not the African, it's not the European, it is like an American Negro from an inner city that people make fun of and look down upon on a regular basis, and it's like those people don't have outlets. The only time they get a movie is a movie like this that represents the hood. And the thing is, when you're in the hood, you don't get to live in the fucking suburbs. That's a fucking benefit. That's like, and I totally get that there's a whole thing that goes on where you're the only black person in the suburbs. But from the outside looking in, you got fucking sidewalks and clean streets and no dumb shit. You got a fucking dog that you may have in your neighborhood that can, like, go to a park. It's like people constantly make fun of you. Constantly. Like, you look at shit. This movie is making fun of those people, and the thing is that this is the only time they can get a chance to say something. I'm not saying they need to make fun of Africans. It's just like people look down on American Negroes so much. So much. And it's like, I don't know what you expect from people. Like, you don't expect people to revolt and, like, push back at some point. It's like, you make fun of these people. You make fun of these dudes who wear chains, people who listen to hip hop, people who rock Jordans. And the moment they say something about somebody else who has some type of privilege that they didn't have, it's like, oh shit. You being mean to me because I'm not black. No, we ain't saying you ain't black, but you ain't been through this Negro shit that I've been through. Like, they still say nigga like I said, but they ain't been one of these niggas on these streets that have been called a nigga. It's like, it's so funny. You want this culture. You want this blackness, but you ain't doing the shit we got to go through. You benefiting from it. Like, all day. Like, I said, people keep shitting on, like, Sam Jackson. Like, he made fun of Daniel. Yeah. Oh, he made fun of... I don't think he made fun of Daniel. What I think he said is that when you see these movies, it's like people don't respect the American black actor. You respect most of these British dudes who, don't get me wrong, are great. But you don't get to do the movie about Martin Luther King. You don't get to do the movie about a 12-year-old slave. You don't get to be in the movie about being a black man dealing with liberal white America if you're a black American dude. Let me tell you why, because they look down on you for some fucking reason, because we ain't good enough. And I'm not saying it like, again, it's okay to make fun of people, but I'm just saying people revolt back and they only can do it in the movies they have. And we ain't got but so fucking many. And even this movie we're shitting on because it's like, not respectful enough. And it's not. I'm not defending this movie. It's not. But it's like, look at the pebbles we get, yo. Like, we ain't getting shit.
That's true, though.
Go ahead.
So, but I want to talk about Brian Hooks and some more, because I was so excited.
What's the point of this,
to see them in this movie? Wait, I remember Brian Hooks was in everything for like...
What was he in, like,
five
Three Strikes?
Straight years.
Yeah, he was in a movie called Three Strikes. Three Strikes.
And when Brian Hooks showed up, I was like, oh, Brian Hooks! He's already been on screen by this point in the movie, but like... Oh, just
the whole point is him trying to have an affair,
it's
right?
It's him and his girlfriend, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Girlfriend, Samore.
They want to be
really
a part of the Mile High Club. They want to have sex on a plane,
and they just keep trying to go. They keep trying to have sex, and it just never works out. And it gets more and more ridiculous. I don't know. It's not that she can't work out.
It's just that he
can't before.
Yeah,
he's premature ejaculating.
Right,
he's like,
right.
Yeah, it's like she's trying to kill him.
She wants it to feel like
real
she
sex.
Wants sex to feel like she's on the brink of death.
Well, no, what's interesting real sex was like an HBO show. To me, it was kind of funny. I was just like, oh, it's because she's been watching so much porn.
Yeah.
And she can't get aroused except by doing this freaky stuff. Like, the Mile High Club is already a freaky thing, but that's not arousing her enough. She, like, needs to be doing the Mile High Club while, like, choking him with a belt.
Yo, hey, question. Did y'all ever watch HBO's Real Sex and then realize, like, this ain't the stuff I need to be watching? Like, I remember being young and being like, Real Sex, and it'd be, like, some of the stuff they were showing, like, oh, I can't.
Like, I don't have an understanding of what they are saying real sex isn't. Like, I don't have an understanding of that.
Yeah, yet. It's like, what is...
I can't watch this because I don't know.
I remember being freaked out of sex because I watched real sex. It's like, I don't want nobody messing with my toes because that was like a segment of real sex. Like, that's not the sex I need in my life.
I don't have an understanding of just boring, just mission. I don't know what that is yet. I can't watch this.
Wait, John Witherspoon. Can we talk about him for a second?
We have to talk about John.
I mean, John Witherspoon was just doing his thing.
I know, but the thing is, like, man, even before Friday, we talked about it. Like, he's such a classically trained dude. Like, he's a great actor. But in this movie, man, this dude is a blind dude who just grabs women's body parts.
I mean,
parts.
His character is, I mean, it's horrible.
He fingered, like,
but.
A baked potato.
But the physical comedy.
Sorry, I don't know if everybody heard that. He fingered a baked potato.
And orgasmed.
I think his physical comedy in this is great. Like, his character is horrible, but his physical comedy is great. Like, he goes from, like, the way
this
that
this is what John Witherspoon, I don't understand. Like, this, he does this in so many films.
Yeah, like,
this is his character in so many things. It's just great. A horny old black man.
It's great. It's great.
Like,
the way that his, like, hand just, like, moves around, like, it's so funny. Like, it just, like, casually grabs something, or, like, the way he fingers the potato, all of that stuff was hilarious to me.
Yeah, man.
Not that it in the state of the movie, oh gosh. And the way that it builds is insane. But him, though, just like if we could just isolate it and just focus on him, I liked that.
I mean, then what happened after you saw him? Is this when Kevin Hart sees his old
crush? So there's like a small...
What's her name?
I guess love story with Kevin Hart and... I don't know her name. She...
It's K.D. Aubert.
Okay, and... KD
Giselle.
Yeah. So basically, you know, Giselle's on this plane and sees Kevin Hart and she's like, wait a minute. You're here? And Kevin's like, you're here? And I'm like, wait, you.
We have no idea who she is.
We have no idea who she is, why she's on the plane. You know, she's flying the first ever soul plane.
She has to know.
Doesn't know that he's... But I guess they had a through line that nobody knew he was the boss.
Yeah.
He had to keep saying that he was the boss.
Yeah.
Which is kind of funny, I guess.
Because he's small.
And through flashbacks, we learn that he broke up with her. And she's, like, now engaged. She has a ring on her finger. The guy is not there, though. The guy is never mentioned or talked about at all in the movie.
Nope.
We're never heard. We never even know. So we like the backstory is basically we find out later on that the reason Kevin Hart broke up with her is because he heard his dad talking to her and saying, I don't want you. Or she says, I'm not going to college anymore because I want to be with, you know, Kevin Hart's character. Mm-hmm. And so Kevin Hart didn't want her to ruin her life. So he breaks up with her. Now, of course, we never know if she actually got to go to NYU.
Yeah, like we don't know anything.
We don't know anything else about her. We just know that Kevin Hart did this really selfless act to better her life. And then she, when she learns about that, is appreciative. So she's going to hook up with Kevin Hart now.
I want to say it's not that simple, but it is that simple.
There is nothing else to it. She has no backstory. We don't learn if she's going to leave her. I guess she is. She's going to leave her fiance. We don't know anything about that person. She literally lived an entire life, and because he told her that, she's like, no, I guess I'm with you now. Because also you landed this plane.
She takes the ring off, which is absurd.
Oh, her name is Giselle, but she was in... Wasn't she in Friday, one of the Fridays?
Yeah, After Next.
Friday After Next.
Cool. And the other storyline is that Tom Arnold's little girl...
is just trying to explore. She's trying to, like...
Yeah, she was trying to have sex, and Snoop Dogg, you know, makes an announcement and says...
This part disgusted me.
Makes an announcement and he's like, all right, this girl just turned 18, so all the players in the place go upstairs, show her a good time.
An entire football team runs to the front
of the
plane.
She's 18, she's looking cute.
A mob of sailors runs to the front of the plane. It's horrible.
See, this is what I keep thinking. This is what I keep thinking right here. Like, is I got like a bunch. Like my family has nothing but all, like, we haven't had a boy in a very long time.
Yeah.
And it's all young girls, like 10, like 6, 2, 1, and like a newborn. Two newborns. And I'm like, yo, I will fuck a dude up. You know what I'm saying? Like, you ain't about to sit here and announce she 18.
Like, so show her a good time.
Like, all the players.
Yeah, yeah.
And then
yeah,
Tom Arnold is just yelling as this is.
We're supposed to laugh?
Man, fuck this movie, son. I tried to defend this movie, man. Fuck this movie, man. How much more time we got to we
Yo,
do this?
Yo, but my thing is, like, who's like, again, this is like one of those National Lampoon freaking animal, like, you know what I mean? Like, this is one of those like straight to DVD, like, it's horny, young and horny,
Van Wilder.
And you think, and it's like not porn, but it's like just close enough, like a couple of like topless, like, oh, that's, yeah, the kind of humor, yeah, that they do.
That's right, because it was a strip club in the first class
the first
at one point.
Class. Yeah.
And there's a dance club, which that would be cool if there was a dance club in a plane.
Yo, this plane was massive.
This game, I mean,
yo,
he had a double
dance
decker.
Club?
He had a double decker.
Yeah, but it was like.
The double first off, Little John,
huge.
Little John, the Ying Yang Twins,
yeah, and the East Side Boys was there too.
And the East
they
Side
had
Boys,
a straight
and East Side Boys shooting a music video upstairs.
Yo, that was a massive plan
with Chris Robinson, who is like,
yeah,
one of the most famous music video directors of all time. Also directed ATL. He's made a cameo, and I'm like, why'd you do this? Why'd you cameo in this movie, man?
So play, baby.
Yo, how did they get Little John in this?
So
I mean. Wait, how did they not? They got stupid.
Wait,
up.
So D.L. Hughley's in this movie.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. He's working in the bathroom.
And he's the bathroom attendant.
Real quick, can we talk about... I was just wondering, why does D.L. Hughley not have a movie career?
I can answer that.
Okay.
Right.
Because I think D.L. Hughley's funny, but I don't think D.L. Hughley is likable. Because I think what D.L. Hughley does, like, his stand-up used to be, like, majorly making fun of the audience. Mm. And also now, I feel like because he's so outspoken for, like... Which I
politics.
Think is dope. Politics and like black issues. I feel like now it's that thing of like.
Well,
sometimes
now I understand, but like, what about then?
Oh, back then,
like he had his own TV show.
Yeah, no, I was a huge deal.
He was, you know.
I liked the Hughleys. I liked all his stand up. Going Home was so fun.
I just watched Kings of Comedy recently. It was on TV.
Yeah, he was one of the Kings of Comedy. So like, what, like, because all of the other, like, I mean, I guess Steve Harvey didn't have a movie career, but he didn't. I don't think he ever wanted one. He was like on TV all the time.
None of them really. If you think about
it, Cedric the Entertainer had a couple movies.
He had a couple, but then Dio had like a couple as well.
Yeah. I'm
like,
looking right now. He was in.
He was the voice of the car in Inspector Gadget.
Inspector Gadget 2.
He wasn't the one in the first.
Oh,
one,
you're
the
right.
First
you're
one
right in the first one too.
And he's the only black person in that movie.
But he's a voice. He's not even.
Yeah. Okay. And then there's a black secretary who we see get knocked over.
He's a part of Scary Movie 3, but like not one of the main roles.
That's the one Kevin Hart and them used to do, right? Because Kevin Hart started in those movies as well.
Yeah. And Nate Anderson. He's in some movie called Cloud 9, but he's not one of the main. I don't know if he's one of the main characters or not. It's with Burt Reynolds. And yeah, like he never really did. I guess so. I guess if he wasn't likable in Hollywood, like people didn't like him. I don't know. It's just interesting to me that he never had not even support. I'm not even talking about leading, like supporting roles. You know what I mean? Like he was just never like after his show, he kind of disappeared a little bit.
That's a good point. Because Bernie ended up getting a couple movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bernie had a couple movies and a great TV show. Cedric the Entertainer had movies. You know, Steve Harvey just never disappeared from TV.
Yeah, he was always
like,
on something.
He's always on something, doing books, you know, hosting daytime shows, doing his, like, hosting thing for everything. You know what I mean? Like, what happened to... And I know Dio is, like, he had a CNN show for a little bit that got canceled. Yeah. And
He's active. I've seen him, like, all the time on, like, news programs. I mean,
I
don't know.
I just
I
wonder
mean,
what happened.
I wonder if him and... I wonder if based on what he talks about and what Steve Harvey's talking about right now, are they friends still? Anyway, that's another tangent.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Wait, so what basically do we need to say happens?
What happens is that gay men gives Snoop like
African mushrooms,
which are stronger, and the Snoop like makes fun of them.
They play African music when he eats.
Yeah.
And when I say African music, you know what I meant, because it's the most stereotypical thing you can think of, like
it's so bad. But then gay man like gets offended, leaves, and he's like, no man, eating too many can like kill you. And then Snoop dies.
Yeah, they realize that he dies when
some more and Brian Hooks trying to have sex. Are just in there trying to have sex
in the cockpit. There was a bit where Snoop Dogg was like looking for a gay man, and he was like, game into the cockpit, and they did the same kind of joke like the football team, but it was just a bunch of like very stereotypical.
Oh, I didn't even see that happen.
Oh, really? Oh,
I didn't even see that moment.
It was just a bunch of people.
I must have
like,
looked down for one second and I missed
all the
gay people.
And then Snoop says, and then not open that door.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I wouldn't open that door.
Also,
at the end of like all of the stereotypical gay people and like, you know, drag queens and stuff like that, at the end of it was a bunch of priests. A bunch of white Catholic priests.
This is horrible. How did I miss this?
I mean, this.
How did I miss that part?
All right, let's skip through this stuff.
Oh, man. Okay, wait. Like, so they end there. They see that they're dead. Yeah. Everyone screams that the captain's dead.
Yeah, everybody freaks out. Oh, yeah. That was actually funny. Yeah, that was a really funny delivery where he was like, where she whispers, she's like, the captain's dead. And he goes, okay, I'll take care of this. The captain's dead.
and then she's just nodding. Like when
everyone's
he said
screaming.
She's just nodding.
Kevin Hart gets in there. In the cockpit now are it's Kevin Hart, Monique, Tom Arnold, and Method Man.
Yeah.
Right?
And then Sofia Vergara.
And then Sofia Vergara comes in.
And says,
but no one knows how to do
here.
It, but she knows how to do it because she has
She's
had sex,
sex
with the
so many times in the pilot in the cockpit.
But she only
but
can tell you
specifically while it's landing. Yeah. That's why she knows.
Yeah. You've never had an orgasm like the one you have when you're descending.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, she only knows how to do certain things while she's
based
in
on
the
sex,
the sex move.
Method Man is being mad.
Method Man's licking her leg.
Time.
Literally licking her leg at one point.
She forgets what to do. She doesn't know what to do after a certain point because that's usually when the man orgasms. But then she is still the foremost knowledgeable person because she's still giving them instructions after that.
Oh, right. Because Gaiman gets knocked out, too. We forgot to say that.
Yeah, he slips in the pool. So Kevin delivers the... I mean, he... lands the plane just by himself. Like, how does he do it?
Well, I feel like he gets an assist by that cell phone call that happens in the middle of it too. I thought that joke was funny. Hey, don't talk on your
phone. Oh, that's just a
thing they tell you to make you use their phones. And then she makes the call. The plane immediately
drops.
Does a nosedive. I thought that was fun. I was like, okay, that's a funny joke towards the end of the movie.
Yeah, then he kind of just lands the plane
in Central Park. Some more and Brian Hooks are having sex on the wheel.
Yeah, they're having sex on the wheel.
And she finally comes, and they're like,
you landed in. Monique's yelling at him, why'd you land in Central Park? There's a homeless man peeing right there, and then the plane dips because their wheels got jacked. Come on, man!
Yo,
this is 2004. Hey, no. Central Park ain't that freaking.
Yo, but this is so plain.
Hey,
and somebody jacks the wheel.
Hey, that's funny.
Somebody jacks the wheel. It's so plain. This movie began with the other plane locking the doors. It's gonna end with the wheels being jacked.
My thing is, like, does he ever fly a plane again? Like, it's so plain.
No, and also that moment isn't connected.
It sounded like Monique's going to sue him.
That moment is supposed to be connected to, I've always supposed to be flying a plane.
Yeah, I wanted to fly a plane.
But they never addressed that.
Yeah, he never says, I flew a plane.
Oh, goodness.
And that's it.
And then that's it. You know, homegirl takes her ring off because they're going to be together now for no reason. And then they just go, let's dance. And then there's a dance number that literally the last line of it is an Islamophobic joke.
That's right, because he comes out and they take off his...
They take off his turban, and then he says, this is the bomb.
Everyone stops. And
everything
starts
dancing
again.
And they also made another Islamic joke earlier on with, like,
oh,
remember he was like, yeah, I got out. When he Snoop Dogg made the joke, like, when he's like, yeah, I told you, you said you got your wings when you got out of the Air Force. No, not the Air Force, the pen.
Oh, right.
And yo, then me and my homeboys were the first in our class. And then his like homies, I guess, were they were all like,
they were the Taliban.
Yeah,
they called them the Taliban.
I think it was supposed to be inferred that they were the Taliban.
They say the Taliban. They go, all right.
Well, they're...
Oh, but that, like, he was actually in... Like, he was in prison with the people that did 9/11, essentially, is what you're saying,
That's what I think he was trying to say.
That's gross.
So this movie...
I didn't make that connection until this
I think that's what the connection
was. That is actually probably exactly what it was supposed to be.
There was a swirl that could have happened in this movie.
No!
I mean, a swirl technically did happen in this movie that Missy... had sex with that dude who had a big dick.
Oh, yeah.
And at one point he was like, did you talk to her about it? I can't. Her vocal cords are damaged. And Kevin Hart goes, that makes sense.
I was going to say... this movie has a swirl, but honestly, I don't want to talk about this movie anymore.
Yeah.
This movie, like, I try to defend it.
Who is the swirl going to be?
The swirl could have been with, like, that couple. It also could have been with the daughter and, like, one of the plethora of black dudes she was talking to.
Don't do that.
But it's also like this movie just...
Tom Arnold and Monique get together at the end.
This movie, let's move on.
Yeah, real quick. I just have a quick question. I was thinking about the whole time I was watching this movie. Is Soul Plane a good movie?
We're
think about it. Because like, because we just watched Soul Plane, right? But is Soul Plane a good movie? Because
what are you doing?
Because
right now?
There's some redeeming slapstick in it. No,
I'm not saying it.
No one's gonna answer
like,
that.
We haven't got to the review yet.
No one's gonna answer.
All right. Okay.
All right. Cool.
No. It's just a definitive no. All right. So.
I don't know.
Trying to be fair.
I'm so mad.
I'm trying to be fair.
I'm so mad.
What I'm gonna
I don't
rate
care.
This movie.
I don't give a crap.
I don't know what I'm going to rate it. I have no idea what I'm going to rate it.
Nah, man.
Let's do it. Set it up, John.
They sold out.
Set it up, John.
Sold out the culture for money. All right.
Set it up.
So now it's time for the cause. We rate and review films not based on how much we like them or how well we think they were made critically, but whether they help the cause of more leading black actors in Hollywood.
Oh, God.
So, if we believe the film fully helped the cause, we give it a black fist. If we think it kind of helped the cause, we give it a white palm. If we think it didn't help the cause at all, we give it nothing. It's not supposed to be how much we liked it.
I don't know what to give this movie. I'm struggling,
all right.
You guys.
I mean...
Okay. You guys ready?
Kind of. All right. Okay. All right. Positivity.
All right. Here we go.
All right.
Three. I am struggling. Two. One.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
I gave it a palm. And I'll start. So here's the thing. I wanted to give it nothing. I really wanted to give it nothing because of exactly what you just said right before we did it, which is they sold out the culture for money. But I'll say this. Kevin Hart's one of the biggest stars in the world.
That's true.
Monique has an Oscar nomination.
She does. Precious.
Method Man was just in Netflix's Luke Cage.
Was the movie that Method Man starred in after this?
How high?
Was that after this?
Or before?
I don't know.
I can't remember.
Also,
populated with black actors. Like, I can't give a movie like that nothing. I think they failed on a lot of levels. There is some stuff about it that is like, there is stuff about it that we're like, oh, that part's kind of good. They just ended up making a bad movie. But I think that, like, you know, black people can make bad movies too. So that's why I gave it a palm instead of nothing.
All right.
I gave it nothing because I, again, I think I agree. Kevin Hart and Monique have great careers, but I don't think it has anything to do with this movie. I think, honestly, they probably had to work 10 times harder to get the careers they had because of this movie. And the thing is, this movie is a movie that hurts a little bit because this is a movie where, like, I completely understand why Kevin Hart made this movie. Like, he wasn't Kevin Hart yet. He, like, this is what he was getting offered. And the thing is, the mere fact that, like, this, look, yo, we get trolled on a regular basis for doing positive things for African Americans. For positive things. So to have to fight that fight to see positive influence of black people and to see a movie like this that goes into theaters, you know what I'm saying? That people will see, people who have never met a black person see these, see Method Man doing like a casino, a strip club, licking Sofia Vergara, making fun of homosexuals, making fun of people from Islam. It's like, what? And make fun of Muslims throughout this whole movie. It's like, who does this help? Who? Like, I don't, I'm confused. I'm like, and the thing is, I'm pretty sure if you asked every actor in this movie, whether or not they have a big career now or not, would they do this movie again? I'm pretty sure all of them would say no.
Yeah.
Because this movie doesn't help anybody involved. It doesn't make black people look good. Like, it doesn't, it makes us look like John said, like, we make fun of Africans, other black people. We make fun of, like, gay people. It doesn't make us feel look good. And another thing that pisses me off so much about this movie, though, and this is probably the basis of the thing that makes me upset, is that this movie was made in the first place. It's like honestly, think about some of the quality things you've heard people try to make.
Right.
And people are like, no, I don't want to do that. Like, I'm not interested in doing that thing. Like, but this movie, this film is what got made. This film got what? $12 million to make this piece of shit.
They were trying to make Rapper Bus.
I think it got $16.
$16 million for this? Mm-hmm. I mean, what are we doing? Look about all the movies we talk about, all the movies we review, right?
Like, Get Out was made for $4.5.
Four. Where did money go to? Was it to the plane?
Yeah, it was to the, no, it was the plane. Was CGI plane.
It was like the most, like,
because it needed to do the hydra.
Like, what are we doing?
All right.
At no point
it
did we respect
CGI because it needed to do the hydra.
At no point in this movie did any male character respect a female in this movie, except really for Tom Arnold and Kevin Hart's characters. Everyone else, and that's only an extent that, like, Tom Arnold did it. Like,
kind of.
And Kevin Hart still was in the strip club. Still, like, man, I'm done talking about this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we forgot to mention, like, Terry Crews' part is that he bonds with Tom Arnold's character because he also has a daughter. He has five daughters.
So does Method Man. Method Man also has five baby mamas.
Five baby mamas. Cool. Which, it's, you know, some people's truths. It's cool that, you know, anyway, I'm not going to talk about this, but I gave this movie nothing. Listen. I moved out of the hood when I was like 9. Okay, so I don't really remember too much about it. I remember stuff. I remember certain things. I remember gunshots at night. You know what I mean? I remember going to playgrounds. You know what I mean? Like the quarter in the locker. I remember that. There are certain things I remember. One of the things that sucks about growing up as a black kid in a white suburban town is that I have to defend this stuff. Well, I don't have to defend it. But essentially, people go, this is the freaking movies that those people see. And they go, you're not black. Because if you were black, you'd be like these dudes who got gold chains and talk about spinning rims. And I can't. And like, I think Kevin Hart worked really hard to get out of this. He says that this movie put him on the map in terms of comedy clubs. So like he became a name because he starred in this film. Great. So maybe in some way it slightly helped Kevin Hart. But I think for him to be great in movies, like in movies that like a much broader audience was going to see, people, I guess, who would pay for the films and not just buy them bootleg, like he had to be in other things. Like the time that I noticed Kevin Hart, I didn't see Soul Plane, was freaking what is it? The
Stand Up, a scary movie.
Well, Stand Up for sure, but also not scary movie. The 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Oh yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And anyway, look, I understand. I actually think that there could have been a good movie here. I'm not like, there are parts of this movie that I think were funny, and if they didn't go so hard on it, like if they took the storyline they had with Kevin Hart and just like just fed it and more, just, you know what I mean?
Yeah, just
it
could spent have been a an cool extra.
Movie. It was a good movie.
Three yeah. lines in every single one of his scenes.
It's a good
just
movie,
three man. Lines.
But like, to me, this is the movie that like. So and I know it's it. Look, it's hard because at the same time, people who are racist are not justified for being racist. But I see a film like this, and I go, "Oh, this. I mean, this is feeding that. Like, how could they not look like these people look at this and they go, oh yeah, like freaking black people are preying on my white teenage daughter." You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And I know that's not what the film was trying to say, but just setting up those dynamics and then being like, we're not going to even address the things that we know we're putting out there,
yeah.
to me feels irresponsible.
Yeah.
And I don't think the people who made this film, they weren't coming straight from the hood to this movie.
Yeah.
They were in Hollywood. Like, the writers of this film were. Like, so... And yeah, I'm the same. I'm mad that this is the thing that was okay to get greenlit. You know what I mean? Where
the
you
thing,
have other
the thing I keep thinking
other stuff
about,
that doesn't get bigger budgets. But whatever. I don't think it helped anybody.
The thing I keep thinking about while listening to what you're talking about, what both of you are talking about, and this is not a fair comparison because I don't remember this movie at all, and I know people love this movie, but the movie Old School, I saw Old School in theaters when it came out. So when was that? 19
it came out 03
or 2003. Okay.
I loved it when I was in.
So I sat down, I watched it, and to me it was a blur of white dudes with beer without their shirts on,
right.
yelling. What, and that's all that movie was to me.
Well, can I? Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
And all
yeah,
I just
like frat. It was like yeah,
yeah. And all I mean is like I looked at that and I was like, and I know that people love it. The two of you do, which is why I don't know if it. I don't think it's a fair comparison. But like that is all I took from Old School.
Well, I'm happy you bring it up because the one thing I was going to say about this movie is I don't have a prop. The things I have a major issue with is like the homophobia. And the Islamic stuff. That's yeah. the major stuff.
But yeah, that's my biggest problem with the movie, too.
If we're going to be
and the way they treat women.
If we're going to be like yeah. real about like how these are real people's lives, just like real people have five baby mamas and real people, you know what I mean? Like are going to like the black pilot is going to smoke reefer and eat mushrooms on a plane.
Yeah.
And like he couldn't find any black pilots. I guess that was supposed to be like saying like, you know, the airlines are racist and there aren't enough black pilots. But to me, it was like, but this is the only black pilot I could really find was this like dude who just got out of jail and like is going to smoke.
But the thing with that, too, is like I think there's still a way to like to handle those things. Like, I think you can right. make those jokes. So again, I don't want people to think like, oh, we're saying you can't make a movie with black people like having gold chains and doing stuff like that. Because I think right. there's a way to do that. I just think you need to, if you're going to have a character, because that is a thing like in the black community where people still are very homophobic. Have
right.
someone address it.
Right.
That's what
yeah.
I'm
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Just like have
it.
Someone address it. Have yeah. someone sit here and say like, hey, this guy is not a terrorist. Like,
right.
no, the whole plane 100%. Looked at dude. Like, and even
it
if,
didn't stop.
The, didn't
the last be joke, Kevin Hart's
the last
character.
Joke of the movie
yeah.
is that.
Someone should say something. Even the thing like, of like this whole thing about praying on like the little white girls, like, someone needs to say, and I guess Kevin Hart, when he talks to the dad, kind of like talks to him a little bit, but no one defends that announcement.
Yeah.
You know, it's like there's ways to like be like.
You could have the bartender, like you could set that up as a joke and then have the bartender have the girl be like, are we gonna make out? And the bartender's like, nah, you're like an 18, you just turned something 18. like live your life, girl, like, here, you can have a fun time, but like, you don't need to sleep with like any, you, that doesn't prove
or
your
not
worth.
Have the black woman take her to the bar when she's 18, like takes her right to like,
yeah, like, I, look, keep an
you
eye
watch
on
out
her.
For her.
Oh, I will, not that kind of eye.
And the thing is like,
but I'm gonna leave you anyway.
But I think you can
17
make those jokes.
Who's just turning 18 year old white girl,
you can make those jokes. We just have to like have someone be the straight man. Just look, because that's the thing about old school. Old school is ridiculous. But anytime like Vince Vaughn says something dumb or outrageous, Luke Wilson is there to be like, what the
you're
fuck?
Insane. Yeah.
Like someone says it. Like when he has nicknames for like the dudes, like people have comments about it. Whereas like no one says anything at the stuff in this movie. And this, yo, when this movie came out, this movie was a big deal. Now I'm not talking about like the backlash. This movie got $16 million. Yo. This movie got $16 million,
bro. Rapper bus.
Anyway, well, there you have it. One white palm.
And nothing
and
else.
Nothing else. cool. Thank you guys for listening. And we'll be back with some plugs. Peace. Time for some plugs.
Plugs.
You can follow us at Black Man Podcast on Instagram and Twitter.
Did you forget for a second?
Yeah, I didn't know which one to say first. I like them both so much.
It's also technically at Black Man Podcast on Facebook as well.
And Facebook as well. BlackManPodcast.com is our website. Right now, we have a couple things happening with. So, for one, we have a new episode of our Seriously.tv show Projecting coming out Wednesday. That's tomorrow or whenever you're listening to it. Every Wednesday. Those live in a couple different places. Okay, you can go to YouTube.com, type in Seriously.tv. There should be a Projecting playlist. Boom. That's one way. If you are on Facebook and you love Facebook, go to Seriously.tv and search for Projecting. That's probably going to be a little harder to find.
Yeah, it might be a little
hard. But it'll be there.
But it's there.
Or you can go to seriously.tv. Somehow that's the hardest way to find Projecting, but it's also there as well.
Hey, why are you throwing shade?
Yeah, I'm throwing a little shade. That's okay. We love Seriously.
Just like
a little baby shade.
And also, if you go to Comedy Central's Instagram,
yes,
we have episodes of Thank You Black People. It will probably be a little hard to find. I mean, but if you see James's face, he's dressed up like a kid.
Yeah, that's the one that came out today.
Well, it came out on Monday.
You guys, why am I saying a date when they're going to be listening to this?
It'll be on Monday. It doesn't matter. It comes out every Monday. So but, check it out every Monday.
It comes out every Monday on Instagram and Snapchat. It lives on Instagram, though, so you can go back and watch the older ones. But if you're on Snapchat, Monday at noon, that's when it comes out.
Yes.
All right. You can follow me at John Braylock. JohnBraylock.com is my website. And that's all from me. Jarrah?
I'm good.
Jarrah's
follow
good,
me at James Third Comedy. Third is 3RD, JamesThirdComedy.com.
What is that?
That's just like the flourish.
Got it.
.com.
Yo, his mic is so loud in my ear.
Now, of course, if you rate and review us on iTunes, give us 5 stars, we will read your reviews on the air, and I'm gonna do that right now once I find sorry, I have to like go all the way down to the bottom. Also, if you are listening to us from other countries, tweet at us, let us know where you're listening from. You know, we love that.
Yeah, get that shout out in,
man. Okay, here we go. You ready? You guys ready for some?
Yeah.
All right. Oh wow, there's actually a bunch. All right, here we go. I'm gonna do this one. If I read this one or not. No, I don't think I did. My favorite podcast. That's so nice. That's how it starts off. This is Flash of Ash.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, this is long as hell. Okay. I listen to a ton of podcasts, and this is my absolute favorite one. I get totally engrossed and lost in each episode. I love everything about this podcast. The guys have great chemistry with each other, and I like that each of them brings their own distinct personality and opinion to the show. It is obvious that they share a strong friendship when the mics are off. Well, and that love is palpable.
Honestly, don't.
I found this podcast on accident, but I am so glad that I did. James, Jeron, John are funny, insightful, and wise. Well, wise. Some of us are, I guess.
I look forward
to listening to them each week. Since I've become an avid listener, I've revisited movies that I love, discovered new movies that have challenged me and made me grow, and I have been able to gain a new perspective and appreciation for the cause. Can I give the podcast a black fist? You guys are dope. Whoa, man. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just gave us a black fist.
All right. I like that. Here we go. You ready? This one is by A-Dubs923. This is such a great podcast for all people. These men break down some of the best and most well-reviewed movies starring black actors. I literally see how black actors impact the film industry through actors, directors, and producers. Definitely a must-listen to podcast for movie lovers. Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
Okay, A-Dubs.
Yep.
I read that one. I don't know if I read this one. Did I read the one about... No, yeah, I did. I'm sorry. I forgot if I read this. Elisus? Mm-hmm. This podcast is super great. There are moments where I'll be walking to class or work laughing to these guys, which definitely makes me look crazy, but it's all good, LOL. Gives me great material to use when convincing my friends to watch as many black movies as I do.
Yeah, there you go.
And then with the black fist.
There you go.
Okay, cool. There we go.
Much appreciated.
I still love that James Third No One Believes You Have a Girlfriend review.
Honestly, who was it again?
He doesn't have a girlfriend. We are established.
Yeah, I don't have a girlfriend.
Big Lopo.
I don't have a girlfriend.
Oh, I don't think I ever read this one, by the way. There's one that, this is an older one, but I feel like I never read it because it was Day One Listener. This is B. Wheezy. This is a great podcast. The three hosts are all entertaining and each provide something different to the podcast. James brings the bits. Jarrah brings the passion. And John keeps everything on track. It's definitely worth a listen.
That makes sense.
Finally.
That makes sense.
Finally, Hancock is a good movie.
What?
Yes.
Hey, man, what movie are we doing next?
All right. Next week, we're doing Burning Sands. It's on Netflix.
Yeah, check it out. Watch it.
Burning Sands. Search it on Netflix. That's right. We're doing a Netflix movie. Screw you. Okay. We'll see you next week. Bye.
How do you feel when you switch to GEICO and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with GEICO feels just like that. Get more with GEICO.